Morning, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and to be able to share some of the wisdom that I've found through my walk with Christ and through some of the trials that I faced up until now. I've gone through several iterations of how I wanted to present today. Given the trials that were presented, I came up a little short on time, so I had to summarize what I wanted to say. As it turns out, it worked out for the best. It's my hope to demonstrate a practical application of the wisdom through the process of renewing your minds. An application that's proven effective when applied in engaging in this spiritual warfare, this war that goes on between here and here, that everybody is fighting. My topic today is about tools we have for victory. This year's been a little challenging. There's been a lot that we've all had to overcome. Some people have had challenges with the loss of jobs, loss of income. This pandemic has hit us all, really. Some of us have had some interesting challenges in terms of how to school our children. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? There's a lot of questions that don't seem to really have any answers, a lot of challenges. Maybe for some, these challenges have been a blessing. Maybe for others, maybe there's been some prior issues that the challenges of this year have kind of compounded. There's a tremendous number of references in the Bible about overcoming trials. In the New Testament, even Christ faces incredible things that he must overcome to fulfill his purpose here on earth. For God's glory, Christ is ultimately victorious over death. By grace, his purpose was to make it so that we have the opportunity to be immersed into his death, his burial, and his resurrection, so that we can share in the same victory and walk in the newness of life as a new creation. But can you imagine, just for a moment, what would have happened if Christ was not victorious over the trials that he faced? What are the implications there? They're pretty serious. But we do have victory in Christ. But just because we do, that doesn't mean that we won't face trials while we're here on earth, while we're still serving our purpose. Turns out it's quite the opposite. In James chapter 1, we're to consider it all joy when we encounter various trials. Who enjoys going through trials? It's not fun in a physical sense. But our joy is to be found in knowing that the testing of our faith in these trials produces endurance. Endurance is a good thing. How do we, as members of the body of Christ, approach these trials? How do we work on building the endurance so that we can better face future trials? There are two tools for victory that I want to discuss today. The first one is the concept of knowing who your enemy really is. Who is he? Why is it important to know who our enemy is when we're talking about facing and overcoming trials? What does he have to do with this? When we think about what a trial is in the sense of a situation that we have to overcome, it's a test of our performance and how we conduct ourselves in the situations that we encounter. It's a test to see how we use the wisdom obtained through the process of renewing our minds. In society, there's a very common perception that it's us against them. Husband versus wife, sibling versus sibling, or some other family member. Maybe you got an issue with your neighbor. Take people on both sides of the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm not here to promote one side or the other. But when you pay attention to the behavior of the people involved to support either side, one thing becomes very clear. These people don't know who they're fighting. They don't know who their enemy is. Contrary to the way society demonstrates, we are not each other's enemies. Not at all. Husbands, wives, blue lives, white lives, black lives, purple lives, polka dot lives, pink lives for my daughter. We're not each other's enemies. So why is it important to know who our enemy is when we're talking about being victorious and overcoming our trials? The answer is simple. He wants us to fail. Our enemy wants us to fail. He wants us to perform poorly when we conduct ourselves in the trials that we face. He wants us to fail. As new creations, he wants us to revert back to our old way of thinking, to forget the wisdom we attain through the process of renewing our minds so that we get stuck in this cycle of going over and over and over and over again. It drains you. When we think about Christ, the perfect sacrifice, having given his all so that we would have the opportunity to be reconciled to our Heavenly Father, this was a tremendous price he had to pay. It's huge. Our enemy wants us to throw it away. It's worth nothing to him. In the process of renewing the mind, we gain an understanding about the schemes of the devil, the tricks that he uses. We're warned against this. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we're warned to be of sober spirit and to be on the alert because our adversary prowls around like a roaring lion. He wants you. He wants all of you, and he wants it bad. He's looking for someone to devour. He wants you to fail. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10, Paul instructs us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We are to put on the full armor of God so that we'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of our enemy. We will stand firm against the schemes of our enemy, of the devil. Verse 12 goes on to say that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle isn't against our neighbor, our spouse, our brother. Our struggle is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Make no mistake, that is who your enemy is. In my personal struggles, I found that with this knowledge, there's a tremendous change in the way that I fight in this spiritual war. There's a change in the way I carry myself when facing these trials. There's a change in my attitude. There's a change in my approach. These changes come about because I learn how my enemy fights. Having an opportunity or having an understanding of who our enemy is and what he wants enables us to change the way we carry ourselves when working through these trials. We have the opportunity to model ourselves after Christ. For me personally, there's been several verses that have had a significant impact. For example, in the book of Psalms, the book that my daughter, Aubrielle, and I are praying through, there's chapter 37, verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Don't fret. It only leads to evil doing. And verse 9, it says, for evildoers will be cut off. But for those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. That's what I'm looking for. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 made another huge impact on my thought processes. James chapter 1, starting with verse 19, it says, this you know, my beloved brethren, for everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. For me, that was a keep your mouth closed. How easy is it to get frustrated with someone when there's a conflict or when things are stacked against us? How about when there's maybe pressure to perform? How do we treat our family members? It's real easy to get frustrated, and we have that tendency to do that. What does the frustration usually turn into? Anger. I don't want to have anything to do with not achieving the righteousness of God. Know who your true enemy is. He wants you to fail. The second concept I want to talk about today is knowing yourselves. You have to know who you really are. One of the tricks in doing that is being honest with yourself. In the process of doing this, you have a tendency to learn what your strengths and what your weaknesses are. I mean, for guys, it's like, weakness? I don't have any weakness. I can bench 400 pounds, and I pick things up, and I put them down. Ladies, have you ever felt that you weren't pretty enough, or maybe that you weren't good enough in some way to deserve something? It happens. If there's one thing a trial will test us on, it's our weaknesses. It's the things that we once had a tendency to easily give into when we're tempted by our enemy. Why is it important to know our strengths and weaknesses? Well, just as we have to know who our enemy is, our enemy has to know who we are to effectively fight us. And if we don't know who we are, we cannot defend ourselves against him. He knows how to tempt us. He knows how to take us down a notch or 10. But we are a new creation in Christ. We are members of the body of Christ. We have a purpose. Our purpose may not be the same as our brother or sister or even our spouse, and that's okay. That's actually perfect. What about our strengths? What do we do with those? Well, when we're plugged into the body of Christ, we have fellowship with the other members of the body. Are one of your strengths another member's weakness? Perhaps you've been told something to the effect of, hey, thanks, I really feel calm and refreshed after talking to you about this or that. Maybe you've helped somebody in some way, shape, or form. Guys, here's your chance. Maybe there's something big and heavy that someone needs help with moving. Lift things up, put them down. We are good enough. We are beautiful. After all, we're made in the image of God. We are a new creation in Christ. We are in Him. And through the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit, He is in us. Ladies, if you're still single, look for a man who sees this type of beauty in you. This is the type of guy who understands what's really going on. Wrapping up here, what happens when we know who our enemy is and when we honestly know ourselves in the process of renewing our minds? Sometimes, without even realizing it when it's going on, things have a tendency to fall into place. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. What happens when we follow these concepts, when we use these, when we understand these simple tools? Well, it means that we're on the path to obtaining victory over our trials. And we can understand the joy that we get when we go through them.